and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
Yes, once again, as it is every Wednesday, we have Wendy Wilson joining us today. So I'm going to get to the market report right away so we have more time with Wendy. And gold today, you know, it's struggling to hit 1,200. We briefly crossed over that threshold of 1,200. We had a high of 1,202 today in early morning trade, and it was battered and beated all day long. And currently we're at 1,197, up a few cents. Silver saw the same type of a day, and it is currently down 2 cents at $14.84. Platinum holding at 800. Palladium was up 12, 934. The USDX today was down 0.17 at 95.07. And crude oil, huge day in crude oil, up $2, 2.09 at 67.93. And the paper markets today, we have, I'm sure they were, I didn't have a chance to follow it today, and a little pressure. The Dow was down 88 points, 25,734. The NASDAQ was up almost 30 points at 7,889. And the S&P, now it's still early. It's 3 minutes after the top of the hour, so perhaps they'll reverse this 1.14 to the downside on the S&P just so it has a positive today. But currently we're at 2861, 2861. 10-year yield 2.82%, down 0.02. European Asian markets, they were positive but very light, very light, very little positive moves, and a little pressure on Bitcoin. And that pretty much wraps it up for the paper markets until the second and third segment of the program today. And there's a whole lot of things to talk about. But first, we have our good friend Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Afternoon, Melody. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Ms. Herbs.
Well, I thought we'd talk about something very interesting with the humanization of animals that's going on in science. I don't know if you've heard this, but really for decades, science has been doing a lot of research, but they're aggressively now pursuing the advancement within medicine, creating a mix of animal and human cell lines, and it's become really a multi-billion dollar industry. So science is taking human cells, implanting them in animals. So for about 80 years, science has been using animal DNA in the manufacture of vaccines for humans, and some feel that it's been corrupting human DNA and making it easier for us to get diseases that were once just for animals. So, but research now is insisting that all this mixing of cell lines is necessary in the discovery of cures for diseases. So a grant money, especially taxpayer money, is going into this funding of this research. And August 2018, the FDA actually approved and signed contracts for the utilization of, quote, fresh human fetal tissue for the purposes of transplanting it into animals, and specifically mice. So the goal, according to the research, and the FDA acknowledges this, is to, quote, humanize mice. I don't know about you, but the average person hears that and says, why? Well, what advantages could there be for taking tissue from murdered babies and putting it into mice? Well, science is saying it's part of the research to find cures for things like diabetes. Any questions so far?
Go for it.
All right. Well, let's get to this Congress-approved stuff, because apparently all this research using the human cells from aborted babies has been approved by Congressional House Energy and Commerce Select Investigative Panel on Infant Lives. So this congressional committee made it clear that the human infant tissue must not come from miscarriages. And that's kind of interesting, right? You want to guess why? Nobody knows.
No.
The trouble I see. Well, according to the Harvard Review on Fetal Tissue Research, miscarriages often happen in a non-clinical setting, and the fetal tissue can be damaged. So fetal tissue cannot have started to decay, and it has to be what they consider fresh tissue. So the deceased child really is looked at, in this case, as a specimen and nothing more, kind of a commodity, an ingredient. And the FDA has really declined to answer some questions regarding this research, and these questions are kind of important. Questions like, how many babies are needed to have their tissue harvested for the purpose of this research? They didn't want to answer that. Also, they didn't want to answer, does the FDA need to be alerted that an abortion is taking place in order to secure, quote, fresh tissue? Didn't answer that. And they didn't answer, what are the required minimums or maximums of the gestational ages of the babies for this research? And they didn't answer, are there special methods for the abortion in order to preserve the tissue from these abortions? And lastly, they didn't answer, were the mothers made aware the babies were going to be harvested for this kind of research? So, they didn't want to answer that.
They didn't want to answer that one either.
No. As usual, government response was, the FDA is committed to follow all legal requirements for this research to meet the highest ethical standards. You know, I'd like to see them say that to God's face. I would.
Yeah. Government and ethical? Come on. government agency?
Right. I'm not really sure how small this research really is because the FDA has signed 8 such contracts like this since 2012. So of the 8 contracts, 7 of them involved the humanized mice situation. It also appears the National Institutes of Health conducted similar research using aborted babies that were 17 to 22 weeks old. So there's your gestation period they're looking for. They also bragged they can create 40 humanized mice from one dead baby. They also stated that they spent $98 million in 2017 on this research, but will spend $103 million on this research this year. So this year, the House Appropriations Committee, they approved a bill that funds the Department of Health and Human Services through 2019, and their bill would prohibit the use of aborted fetal tissue for uses in federal-funded research, but the bill has to pass both the House and the Senate, and then also signed by the president and for it to become law. Now, in the past, medical scientific research really didn't see a need to humanize mice. So you got to ask yourself, why all of a sudden are we humanizing mice? Got any ideas?
No, the billionaires are getting old.
Well, according to
more money.
Well, yeah, according to bioscience resources, they say this, the human immune system created in mice allows us to test biological drug products for safety and efficiency. Mm-hmm. The drugs do not bind to non-human species, end of quote. Well, if that's the case, does this mean that all the prior scientific drug research using regular mice was a waste of time? And it produced bogus findings because it doesn't bind to non-human species. Are the drug studies from previous non-humanized mice worthless? And do they offer more toxicity and more risk because, of course, it doesn't bind. The drugs don't bind to mice tissue. Well, one may ask, what specifically are they utilizing to make these humanized mice? Apparently, they are selecting the thymus glands and the liver to give the mice a human immune system. So what they do is they genetically engineer a mice to compromise its natural immune system, and then they implant the human tissue and inject them with the stem cells from the liver, and this creates supposedly a human-like immune system inside this mouse. All this is supposed to expose the side effects a human would have to a prescription drug because mice are not humans. Now, if you go to the FDA's website, not that I visit it much, but they have pictorials on humanized mouse models.
And
they show, oh, I'm not kidding. So they have the little bitty picture of the mouse, and they have the liver and the thymus gland and where they put it, and uncovered the causes of human side effects is basically what they're listing there. Now, we're talking about a lot of secretive and profitable research that's involving a lot of professional reputations and a lot of prestigious titles with this area. So the fuel here is greed, really. I don't think it's about curing diseases, because if that were not true, we'd have medical cures to many diseases by now. They've been doing this for, what, a couple of decades. So according to the Advanced Sciences Without Harming Animals and the National Institutes of Health, they spend 47% of their funds on this type of research. So in 2015, their budget was $22 billion. They spent $10 billion on this research, and they've been doing it for 10 years. 10 years. Any cures for disease yet?
That's just it. No cures.
So who's benefiting?
No cures for anything. Yep.
Yeah, so who's benefiting from this research? I have a very incomplete list. It's the researchers, the technicians, the lab animal farms, the veterinarians hired to look after the animals, the suppliers of the products to house the animals, the universities, the pharmaceutical companies that patent the drugs, investors, medical journals, the National Institute of Health, the Department of Defense, and other federal agencies, as well as the media, because they direct market advertise for these pharmaceutical companies. There's your list.
I can almost picture on the website, you know, a chest-thumping Mighty Mouse. You remember him?
Yeah, I do remember the cartoon.
Good old cartoon day. That's ludicrous.
Well, you know, I just look at this and I can't help but remember what God spoke of in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where, you know, Moses is telling Israel, if you're good, these are your benefits and blessings. If you're evil and you're wicked, these are your curses. And in that paragraph in verse 60, God says, if you're going to be wicked and not follow my ways, I'm going to bring upon you not only the diseases of Egypt, which you're afraid of, and they'll attach to you like no other. He says, there's also going to be every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. So these are all the diseases science has been creating. We have more pestilence now than we did 200 years ago. We had like six diseases that plagued mankind in 1818, and now our list is you know, probably tenfold.
You know, Wendy, and I find it, you know, just, you know, with babies and fetuses and all this, but there's there's a lot of people out there who believe that, you know, some of these modern day medicines do help people, and through this way is how they can break through and discover more ways to perhaps not cure, but to, you know, treat and make billions of dollars more.
Well, I mean, the thing is God gave dominion to man over the earth, but he reserved dominion of man for himself. So, you know, when you're taking the image of God and carving it up like this,
I know,
it's just really, babies are not a choice. They're a child that was born in the image
Absolutely.
Of God. So I just really, I'm really, I come on here and I just report.
No, I'm not arguing with you. I just, you know, how do you, it's so wrong, because, I mean, we've talked, I've read books, articles, you've heard other people that, you know, in some of these diseases there are cures already, but they don't bring them out because it's more money. It's the profit, it's the greed,
right?
You know, and that's because we don't have a moral society anymore. That's where they've gone past these, you know, they've crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
No, they've gone beyond the borders, and
right. Yeah, we have. We've gotten way off our path. We certainly
have.
Now, last night on my show, I played a 13-minute clip. Now, people who are listening, I don't know how many out there have internet access, but if you go to YouTube and type in Liberty Matrix, this is a granite monument, the largest in the United States, that nobody seems to remember it's there. And it's the blueprint It was built in 1818. Congress and our state legislators ponied up the money for this, and it took, I think, 9-8 years to build it. And it's the blueprint how America became great, because this was our forefathers coming over from a tyrannical England, and this was the blueprint for setting up America. And it starts with faith and the Bible. And if you go around the monument, there's the blueprint on how you get all the way to liberty and defeating tyranny. And it all starts with honoring God and following the Bible and teaching each generation about that. We've gotten so far off of there. So I think it's real refreshing to go and visit that. You can visit it on YouTube and check it out.
And you know what's interesting is because the real breakthroughs, it's never going to funnel down to people like us. You know, the real breakthroughs go to the wealthy.
You're absolutely right. The military has known for some time how you can regrow your limb if it's, you know, damaged in war. How many people know about it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just there for the very few, apparently, because, you know, selling prosthetics.
We're the guinea pigs to get tested on their medications.
Well, God says herbs are here for the healing of man and the nations, and he can't lie. So this is where we should turn to, not to all this weird science and where it offends God, for sure. Because when you start sacrificing unborn babies, you're in a whole lot of trouble.
Absolutely.
You are. Anyway, so people need to have encouragement and trust in the Lord and his medicinal foods. Even Hippocrates says foods are your medicines. And he's the forefather of modern medicine, but medicine's not following that path. So I think trauma care is good and it should be there. But I think for everything else, we need to really do our due diligence, because you know, who are you going to turn to if you're in a situation where, you know, we've got a breakdown of society? You're really going to have to know what to do.
Absolutely. Wendy, give us some contact information. We're probably running
a little
close
long.
To,
thepowerherbs.com is the web address, 866-229-3663 if you'd like a free product catalog. And we'll see you next time.
All righty. Well, we had a couple minutes left. You can go ahead and repeat that number. Give out
Sure.
Do you have any specials or anything like that?
We're going to be coming up with, obviously, the end of summer and our Labor Day special. We'll be announcing that real soon, probably next week. But they certainly can get a catalog by going to thepowerherbs.com or calling the toll-free in U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. Take care now.
All righty, Wendy. We'll talk
to you.
Bye,
Wendy.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after these few short messages. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 90% silver, 50-cent pieces, $2.90 for $25 face value. Yep, they're down to $2.90. $25 face value, 50-cent pieces, Kennedy and Franklin. So, Ben Franklin. So, very good buy. And, Dave, I got another call today from a lovely woman, and she says, you know, Melody, she says, I've been listening to you since day one. She says, almost 25 years. And it's just so hard. And there's so many more. And yeah, I'm not, we don't sensationalize. Oh, we got, you know, we've got the largest crowd in the country ever, you know. But it just humbles me and it tickles me when someone calls me and they share that with me. And it's just amazing how, you know, they bring us into their homes. You know, we do become friends and family almost. And I don't think there can be a greater job in the world or responsibility. Yeah.
Truth and honesty does breed loyalty.
And she said, one thing she said that I thought was so important, she said that there isn't a program anywhere that provides this type of information. And it's true. We stick to finances. We stick to what's going on. We break through the fake and the lies of the reports that are given to us by government. Sure, we could go off on, you know, what's happening in D.C. And we do somewhat a little bit with Butch Paul and so forth. But there's no other, you know, everybody else has an agenda. I mean, your mainstream financial news programs, they all have an agenda to sell you stocks. You know, we're here to sell you the truth on the finances and then to help you get protected with gold and silver. And a lot of those funds go right back into education. They support other programs. They support Pastor Butch. They support Beth with CSC Coalition. They support other programs and advertising. So it's just not this. You're just not supporting Discount Gold and Silver and Financial Survival. The profits are spread, you know, to where I believe people can really bring the truth to you listeners. To Greg Hunter, powerful program yesterday. And so 800-375-4188. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Yes, everybody is, you know, happy, pulling out their party hats and everything to see if, did the S&P turn green after the, Dave? Do you know? Let me see if I can pull it.
I'll tell you in a second. It's still down about 0.04% today, but, okay. You know, that qualifies as essentially another day in happy land.
Well, it'll show that the paper market today became the bull market, the longest on record, having persisted for 3,453 days. Two questions people are asking, though. Is it the strongest bull market, and how much longer is it going to last? We have, you know, investors been in the black now for almost 10 years. Of course, that this is following the worst financial crisis of most of people's lifetimes. And how did we get here? And yet, they've got a doozy coming, though, Dave. The doozy, indeed. The doozy of all financial crises are coming, is coming. The generally accepted start date of this bull market was March 9th, 2009, which is when the S&P 500 hit a low of 666. Ed Yardeni, the founder of Yardeni Research, says that if anyone had told him the market would have these kinds of gains after the Great Recession, him and many of his peers would have been skeptical. And I think he was skeptical. Not would have been, was. Hasn't been a perfectly smooth ride. We've seen some corrections and so forth. But, you know, with the Greek debt crisis, the fiscal cliff debate, the Brexit vote, and, you know, there's a tons of many others. But, you know, and I think the biggest is going to be our debt.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, you know, there are a lot of paper analysts out there saying that, you know, today marks this big technical milestone. But, you know, not everyone even agrees that, you know, we've hit it. For example, some argue that the 1990s bull market ran longer. You know, others disagree with the notion that this bull market legitimately began as early as March of 2009. Yardeni, for example, thinks stocks are in their second longest bull run, and the number to beat is actually 4,494 days. You know, he starts the clock in the previous longest bull market in 1987, not 1990, like a lot of other market watchers. I mean, he actually believes the, you know, virtual 20% decline in 1990 qualified only as a correction, not an actual bear market. But, you know, irrespective, you know, how's this bull market actually rank when compared to others in the modern era? To answer your first question, Melody, well, as of this morning, anyway, the current bull market has seen a total rise in the S&P of 323%. Now, that's 9.4 one-hundredths of 1% per day of the run. And that's the third highest of any bull run since at least 1957, measured in those terms. You know, contrast that to the 3,450-day bull run from 1990 to 2000, you know, which rose 417%, that translates to 12.1 one-hundredths of a percent per day increase. And the strongest bull market occurred, using these measurements, during the 1,839-day run from the five-year period of 1982 to 1987, which saw total gains of just 229%, but translating to a daily average of 12.5 one-hundredth of a percent. So that's where you have about that in terms of strength.
And, you know, everyone wants to know, well, what's going to happen next? And just like anything else, these markets, bull markets, they get old and they die out. And it was funny, the Sam Stovall, he's, I don't know, another strategist at a research firm. He says that bull markets are like incandescent light bulbs. They tend to glow brightest just before they go out.
Yeah.
And you can say that more about light bulbs too, but yeah, it's so, you know, it does die out. I mean, how much higher can it go? And usually when we hit these peaks and milestones, it's usually shortly thereafter. There's a lot of things going on around this world that I think all the listeners and us included, or and many other analysts out there that are kind of puzzled to see how the stock market continues to go. And I always reference Venezuela. You know, they're eating their pets, and yet their stock market hit record highs. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because the stock market is doing good and is hitting all these records and going higher, that things are happy and things are good in the land in which you live. And so, I mean, they're expecting a million inflation this year or next year.
Venezuela.
Sure. So, you know, but yet their stock market, but what can they get with it? Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So, again, the yield curve, that continues to narrow and gets closer to inverting. And every inverted yield curve over the last 50 years has predicted a subsequent recession. This time when that happens, not if it happens, when it happens, we believe gold and silver prices, you know, they're going to skyrocket.
Yeah, you know, Melody, age, it's just a number. I mean, as Yardeni puts it, you know, the obsession about the length of the bull says more about investor psychology than about the market itself. You know, but this bull's been described as the most hated one in history. And most gold and silver investors have found reason after reason not to buy in. You know, it's our opinion that you stay the course. That is, you're in gold and silver for the long haul, not paper markets. The more gold and silver you buy now, the more its value will grow and grow big when the next crisis hits. Call Discount Gold and Silver today to buy all of your precious metals. Again, we're at 1-800-375-4188. Melody.
David Stockman, most of the listeners know who he is. He was he served as the OMB director in the during the Reagan administration. And he puts a large part of the blame on Washington's decision to place tariffs on China and the ballooning budget deficit. He says this economy isn't strong. Oh, he concurs with us. And it can't take the punishment that's coming out of an unhinged White House and a Washington policy environment where they are all, where they all have their heads in the sand. And certainly, with all this information that's been going on in the past 2 days, that's even more so. I think he wrote this article last week. It came out, Dave,
Thursday.
Last Thursday. And I can only imagine what he's saying now. But according to Stockman, the China trade war is the primary catalyst that could finally push the stocks over the edge. He says, we're just not going to have a happy solution to this. We're in a trade war big time. It's going to keep getting worse. And this isn't caused by bad trade deals, he says. Our big trade deficits are the result of bad monetary policy for decades. Hello? Well, who's been saying that? Who's been saying that, Dave? All of our problems.
I believe you have,
yes,
Melody.
It is. It's monetary. It's our bad monetary policy for decades. But they had no choice because they didn't want us to go into a depression. It was all their little ways to get us out of these recessions, and they become wealthier and more powerful. He says, David Stockman says that we price ourselves out of the world market, and what we're trying to do now is going to cause a train wreck.
Yeah, I mean, we know, Melody, that Stockman has been relentlessly bearish. And his previous warnings, you know, have yet to materialize on the one hand. I mean, we know that last September, when we first started talking and writing about Stockman's warnings, you know, he called for a correction as big as 70%. You know, and then, you know, that he said that, you know, the bond market was first going to crash and then, you know, followed not too soon after by the stock market. You know, since then, the S&P has rallied by around 13%. But don't count him out, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, right now, Stockman isn't ruling out another all-time high in what he's been calling the biggest stock market bubble in recorded history. However, he warned that a 20 to 40-plus percent shock could easily wipe out gains in the days that follow. He said, you've got a train wreck on trade. You've got a train wreck on deficits hitting. We'd add hitting together, head on. You know, in response, you know, White House spokesperson referred to remarks made by Melody's BFF, Trump economic advisor Larry Kudlow, who declared at a cabinet meeting last Thursday that the U.S. was crushing it on the economy. We beg to differ.
We do. I mean, we've certainly seen improvements here and there. We've talked about that before. I mean, people will look around. You see building going on. You see homes going up. You see this. People seem to be busy and so forth. But it's not much unlike Greece. I mean, you know, they're getting to the point where now they're finally managing their debt. People are beginning to go back to work, but it isn't like it was. People in Greece is the same as here, working part-time jobs. Their wages are not increasing. You know, they've been forced out of their businesses, and now they have to work for other people. things are not what it was. Although everybody says what a great economy we have, but trillions of dollars was the stimulus. That was the cost to the taxpayer. And it just boggles the mind. That's why we can't have a strong dollar. That's why the administration, President Trump, is upset with Powell, because he's raising rates. It's making this dollar stronger, and it's all going to fall apart. They need a weak dollar. They're going to get a weak dollar. Trump is fighting for a weaker dollar, and it's just all a game to them to some degree, Dave. And without the stimulus, without cheap money, those rates begin to rise. There's no more cheap money. What do you think's going to happen when our whole economy has been based on cheap money? It doesn't work. Something, that rubber band is going to break. It's been stretched and it will break. And we've been talking about home sales. The U.S. home sales, it fell for a fourth straight month in July, as again, a shortage of properties on the market is pushing up house prices, sidelining some potential buyers. You have the National Association of Realtors said that the existing home sales fell 0.7% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.34 million units just last month. July's drop, it marked the longest streak of monthly decline since 2013. You have these economists that were polled by Reuters had forecasted existing home sales would gain 0.6%. Didn't. Sales fell across the Northeast, the South, and the Midwest, but they did rise in the West. You have your existing home sales, which makes up about 90% of U.S. home sales. That fell 1.5% from a year ago in July. So again, some of these sales, they've been stymied by an acute shortages of home on the market for several months. Although they show that the inventory showed signs of stabilizing last month. But I think it's deeper than just inventory, Dave.
No, it almost certainly is. I mean, there were virtually 2 million homes on the market in July. You know, that's unchanged from a year earlier. It was the first month in 3 years where inventory didn't fall on a year-to-year basis. You know, rising building material costs, as well as shortages of land and labor, they've left builders unable to bridge the inventory gap, and that's pushing up house prices. Supply constraints have largely accounted for the sluggish housing market, but, you know, there are growing concerns that, you know, higher house prices, together with rising mortgage rates, are going to slow demand.
And I think it will. And, you know, the Fed said there's going to be 3 or 4 rate hikes. So 800-375-4188. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And we were talking about rate hikes and how the Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan had talked about raising hikes, what the cycle's going to be.
Yeah, yesterday he said, the Fed could be nearing the end of its rate hiking cycle as headwinds build up to economic growth. As the Fed continues to normalize its policy, Kaplan said there, likely are three or four more increases ahead for the Fed benchmark Fed funds rate until it gets to what it calls neutral. The policymaking Federal Open Market Committee has indicated as many as six more hikes ahead this year, next, and into 2020, Melody.
So where does that take us if we have six quarter point hikes?
It takes us into the threes, I do believe.
That really isn't.
And, that's significantly above its, 2% range.
Well, yeah.
Which is where we are now. So, this neutral rate of interest is a controversial one. They say it's neither accommodative or, nor restrictive.
The markets want something more than just something that's neutral? They want accommodative.
Well, they do. And I think, the looking to the future... I mean, on the one hand, as clear as it is to us that a major paper market correction is around the corner, the way the Fed has reacted to that in the past is as recently as 2008 Great Recession has been to lower interest rates. So on the one, it's ironic because, many people are saying that, the Fed is going to hike us right into a recession. And in some ways, that seems likely. Just to have interest rates, it seems, at a high enough rate that they can then adjust them downward when the recession that they largely cause occurs. So it's like... Get out of here, Fed.
I know it. That's why. I mean, these markets, I know it. I mean, that's why they're just so phony. And they will lose control. I mean, they think they're so smart that they can actually control these markets, so these economies. And they have done an outstanding job. You got to hand it to them. They have the power and they have the ability. But, they were able to get the world synchronized. In doing so, I'm not so sure the world is going to stay synchronized, and
if we start to see China and some of the other big countries start to move away from a dollar-based oil economy, as we're beginning to see on a smaller scale.
Yeah, and with the news that China is going to be working with Iran for the oil, and I mean, China is Iran's biggest buyer of oil to begin with, and, mm-hmm. and now that the one oil company pulled out because of the U.S. sanctions, China's moving right in there. So again, you're having these countries. I think I talked about this before. They're teaming up, and you know, China continues to tell the administration that they're not manipulating its currency. There was a senior official of China's central bank yesterday at a briefing said that the exchange rate is set by the market. Like, we should really believe these governments, you know. It's really kind of funny. Anyway,
this is where I wish we were on video, because they would portray at least one very disbelieving facial expression right now.
Yeah, and you got to remember, China is a communist country, so we're supposed to believe everything that a communist nation tells, you know, but hey, all these nations are the same anymore, I think. But the official, Li Bo, he says China is not manipulating the yuan. He says he is quoted as saying in a report in the South China Morning Post, he told reporters in Beijing that the country would not use its currency as a weapon in a trade war. Sure you won't. And we won't use policy to devalue the yuan, and we won't use the exchange rate as a weapon to react to external pressures from trade conflicts. That's what the report quotes Li. And he's the director of monetary policy at the People's Bank of China. And of course, the administration, President Trump, continues to say that China is manipulating the currency lower to make up for the tariffs that are imposed by the U.S. on its goods. So,
yeah, I mean, the president has accused China of currency manipulation in the past, as we know. And as listeners remember, a weaker currency makes a country's goods more attractive to overseas buyers. You know, so forcibly pushing, you know, the yuan down would offset any effect from tariffs imposed by others, theoretically anyway. You know, in an interview last month, our president said China's currency is dropping like a rock and our currency is going up. And I have to tell you, it puts us at a disadvantage. A weakening currency also has a downside, though. Capital flight out of the country. And that's something China has been trying to stop. So, you know, lower level Chinese officials are in Washington as we speak to renew trade talks with us. And these are coming as, you know, new tariffs on $16 billion of Chinese goods are supposed to kick in tomorrow, Melody. China has pledged to retaliate. The plot thickens, as it were.
Well, you know, I wonder what the impact, when you have these lower-level officials from China in D.C., discussing trade talks, you wonder what kind of impact, if any at all, because all these governments are so corrupt, and what's going on with our administration and the news that has been released and so forth, if that has any impact, or are they just used to, I mean, for the United States, this isn't, you know, a lot of, even the European countries go through these scandals and so forth and whatnot with their politicians and
Yeah, I'm guessing that, you know, the leaders of both countries are feeling some level of pressure from within, you know, our borders. But I think it's telling that, you know, these talks are with, you know, undersecretaries or deputy undersecretaries, you know, and not the major ministers from China, and you know, say our trade reps, you know, Kudlow or Treasury Secretary Mnuchin. You know, I think it you know, gives both countries some level of cover that, well, look, we're trying, but for sure, you know, whatever may be discussed today, which is probably just a framework for future discussions, you know, at most, what it says is at a minimum, these new rounds of tariffs are going to kick in tomorrow, and probably by Friday, you know, our not so good friend Xi Jinping will announce some sort of retaliation. Mm-hmm. So it goes on, and that just I think sets up you know, our paper market for a not so friendly, investor friendly end to this week.
But you know what? There's so many distractions out there. So we'll see if the, you know, the distractions keep, information of this filtering through to where it has any impact. And
speaking of distractions, Melody, how about these photos of, the Iranian president, sitting in the front seat of a supposed new jet fighter?
I don't know. Of course, they got billions and billions of dollars from the last administration, so maybe this was how they spent some of it. And everybody remembers seeing the piles of cash that was given to Iran. But they do claim that they produced a new domestically produced fighter jet. However, it's being questioned by military experts.
It's true. You know, one of these experts, a guy named Douglas Barry, observed that the plane that was unveiled by Iran appears to be a two-seater U.S. F-5 fighter. That's a couple of generations ago, Melody. I mean, Barry said the idea that the plane was an indigenous creation of Iran, he says, should be taken with a massive pinch of salt. But he added there could be an element of truth to the manufacture of some new parts by the country. He thinks they have, the industrial capacity to at least make a fuselage assembly for this kind of aircraft. But beyond that, they may have, Iranian engineers may have the ability to upgrade their electronic control systems, their guidance systems as well. But he and some other analysts say, at least the photos that have been released show this two-seater F-5. I mean, show, this airplane as being just like the two-seater F-5 U.S. airplane. So, it's don't always believe what you see, right?
Right. But, it's interesting because they talked about in this article that Tehran would be keen to show their own people that Iran has some way of protecting itself. I thought that was what their goal of a nuclear weapon was, so that they could protect themselves. But I guess you need some fighter jets to be, are also helpful. But they had a pretty big budget. They have nothing like ours, but in 2017 they have a budget of $14.1 billion. And I think that's a lot when you have a country that is experiencing some economic turmoils at this point in time. But
that's true. I mean, ironically, so certainly interestingly, that $14 billion, which, translates into 2.5% of its GDP of roughly $564 billion. That would qualify Iran for good standing in NATO.
Hmm?
How about that? At least in terms of its commitment to military spending.
True. Here I thought
something. Tongue in cheek, folks.
Yeah. We got about 3 minutes left of the program. It's interesting how we talk about the economy, the difficulties that people are having. They're using their credit cards to live on. It's the same story that we've had prior to the Great Recession. They took out loans on their homes. Well, now you have young people cashing in retirement savings, if they have any. I didn't know they had any.
Well, apparently what they had or have, they're cashing in. I mean, we talked the other day about, how the different generations differ in amounts of debt they carry. Well, nearly 60% of investors 18 to 34 say they've already taken money from their retirement account. The figure's been growing steadily since 2015, when it was almost half that, 31%.
Wow.
We know millennials, generally face financial challenges that their parents, didn't as young adults. On top of carrying, most of the $1.5 trillion of student loan debt, their wages are lower than their parents' earnings were when they were in their 20s. I mean, $40,600 roughly in 2013, versus the inflation-adjusted $51,000 earned by their parents in 1989. Quite a contrast.
Really? That really is fascinating. And the thing of it is, when you tap into your retirement money before a certain age, that most of those distributions are going to generate a tax bill. So it's not the best thing to do. I mean, you can convert it. And I do have, and I have had a lot of customers during the, after the Great Recession, who did do exactly that. They did tap into the retirement money, and they did pay their taxes on it, because the tax bill wasn't nearly as big as what they were set to lose by keeping it in paper money in their retirement accounts. So, I mean, it isn't for everyone, but you do have to weigh the costs. You have to weigh what your taxes are going to be. And if you, there's also penalties sometimes if you withdraw before 59 and a half. And so you have to be very careful and absolutely know what the consequences are. Before you do this. And I know many of my clients did that after 2008 and the markets crashed, when you saw the S&P at 666. It was dangerous times, and they protected their money, and that's what gold and silver is all about.
You know, we read that the top reason cited for the, you know, the millennials withdrawing their retirement funds was for medical emergencies, you know, followed by education expenses and then unemployment. However, more than a third of workers who make early retirements do it either, you know, to make a big purchase, go on vacation, or otherwise spend it on themselves or their family. Savings, folks, it's the way to go. Gold and silver provide you with an incredibly safe haven.
And it sounds like we're on our way out, because I hear the music, and that means another day, another program of Financial Survival is over. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.